Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we're going to be continuing a study that we started last week on the book of Daniel, focusing on the prophecies contained in this book. And at this point, we're in Daniel chapter 7, looking at the fourth beast, which is described in verses 7 and 8, and then interpreted for us later on in the chapter. These verses read this way: "And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth, was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in the horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and mouth speaking pompous words." So as we come to this fourth beast, which in the context, the 3 other beasts start off with Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece, which are contained in the first 6 verses, which we've previously looked at. And the more difficult aspect of the book of Daniel is here is found in verses 7 and 8 of looking at the identity of this fourth beast. There's 3 primary viewpoints on identifying this fourth beast. The liberal schools of thought, which primarily do not even believe the Bible is the word of God, they believe that this fourth beast is actually Greece. And the reasons are as follows. First of all, they do not believe in predictive prophecy. They don't believe that the Bible could predict the future. And for Daniel or someone to have written about the future would be impossible for them. So they actually look at Daniel as a book that was written in the 2nd century BC and was a forgery. Someone applied the name of Daniel to this book. And so they view the book of Daniel as being composed later on after all these things have already taken place and then someone writing it as if a prophecy. And obviously that view is to be rejected. But the 2 primary views within the church are what are called the amillennial and premillennial viewpoints. And both of them do agree that this fourth beast is the Roman Empire, or prediction about the Roman Empire. The difference comes in of identifying the 10 horns, the 3 horns, and the little horn as found in verses 7 and 8. And for today's program, we're going to be focusing on the premillennial interpretation of this passage, primarily focusing on the 10 horns that rise up. Fortunately for us, later on in the chapter, Daniel receives the interpretation of what this fourth beast is, as well as the 10 horns that are described. And that's primarily contained in verses 23 and 24 of chapter 7. And it reads this way: "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth." And historically, the fourth kingdom in the series of kingdoms mentioned in Daniel chapter 7 is Rome. It says, "which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces." That's exactly the way Rome conquered its enemies. It wasn't concerned like the Greek Empire to keep the nation intact and then influence their culture into it. It went out and destroyed and conquered, sold the individuals into slavery, and basically destroyed the territory. So it did trample and conquer in that way. Then verse 24 comes to the point where there's a difference of opinion. Verse 24 says, "The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom." And that's an extremely important part to understand about Bible prophecy. It says these kings will rise out of this kingdom. So here the Bible predicts that 10 kings will rise out of Rome. Now this is where the amillennial viewpoint, I believe, is lacking greatly. There was never a point in history where 10 kings rose out of the Roman Empire. Some have tried to make some adjustments and try and make this passage fit to Rome, but historically it doesn't. Others have tried to say, well, it's a symbol and we're to interpret it in a spiritual sense, and so there's a general application to Rome. And I believe that understanding is not accurate because it lacks an historical fulfillment. If this beast is an empire, it's a literal empire, which is Rome, then these 10 kings are going to be 10 literal kings. I think you have to be consistent in interpreting passages of Scripture. You can't go from saying, well, this is symbolic and we don't know what it means, but this part we do. If we're going to take it literal, we need to take it literal all the way through. And that's the way it's interpreted. It doesn't say these 10 horns represent some sort of forms of government or possibly kings. It says these represent 10 kings that will rise from this kingdom. So what we need to do is find out how these 10 kings are going to rise out of the Roman Empire, especially since it has already died off. How is this possible that 10 kings will rise out of this kingdom? For the rest of our study today, we're going to be focusing on these 10 horns, which are 10 kings. In our study tomorrow, we'll be looking at the little horn, which is the Antichrist, and look at what the Bible says about that subject. Now, the 10 horns are definitely declared to be 10 kings who are going to rise from the Roman kingdom. And one of the principles of Bible interpretation, which is very helpful to understand and know, is let the Bible interpret the Bible. Because we see in the book of Revelation that these 10 horns show up once again and are interpreted to be 10 kings. So we need to look at Revelation 13 as well as Revelation 17 to understand who or what these 10 horns are and how they'll come together in the last days. So in Revelation 13, verse 1 and following, it describes the beast, which ultimately is a description of the Antichrist and his kingdom. And it says in verse 1, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name." So we see this beast has 7 heads, and then it also has the 10 horns, which we also saw in the book of Daniel. Verse 2 says, "Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion." Those are the exact 3 animals that we saw earlier in Daniel chapter 7 in the vision that Daniel had about the empires of Babylon, the Medo-Persian, and the Greek Empire. So it definitely shows us that Revelation 13 is a direct connection with Daniel chapter 7. It goes on to say, "And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority." So here, the devil's the one that gives him his authority and power in the last days. Verse 3 goes on to say, "I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast." So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" So here we see a description of what ultimately turns out to be a last world empire, and we're focusing specifically on the fact that in verse 1 it says it also has 10 horns. Now we don't have to guess what these 10 horns are in the book of Daniel because it's interpreted for us, as well as in the book of Revelation, because later on in Revelation 17 it's also interpreted what these 10 horns are symbolic of. So in Revelation chapter 17, verse 7 and following reads this way, "But the angel said to me, 'Why do you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition, and those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is.'" Then jumping down to verse 12, it relates specifically to our point, which is, "And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet." So these 10 kings that are predicted in Daniel 7, which relates to Revelation 13, in chapter 17 it's told us these kings have not come to power yet. So this means that this fourth beast, which Daniel described in chapter 7, is the Roman Empire, and yet, by the time of John, when he wrote the book of Revelation, in approximately 96 AD, this form of the kingdom had not yet come to power. So he says that they have not received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. So these 10 kings will form a nation together, they'll have power and authority, and they're going to rule and reign for a short time with the beast or with the Antichrist or that last world ruler. Verse 13 goes on to say, "These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast." So these 10 kings are going to rise out of the Roman Empire, and they will ultimately form a nation, and then give that authority of their nation and power over to one individual called the Antichrist or the Beast. Now, one of the most difficult things to interpret in relationship to this last world empire is in relationship to how does Rome relate to these 10 kings, especially since it has died off as a world power. That's why I made a strong emphasis in Daniel chapter 7, verse 23, which says, "The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all others." That's why I emphasized in Daniel chapter 7, verse 24, which reads this way, "The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom." So this fourth beast actually is a fourth empire called Rome, but then ultimately reforms later on, even in our future, and 10 kings will come out of the Roman Empire. Now the difficulty arises in how is that going to be applied if Rome does not exist? The suggestion that I'd like to offer to you is this, that these 10 kings rise out of the territory that Rome once occupied. And if you'd look on a map and look at historically where Rome once occupied their territory, you would see that in our day and age, they occupied what we would call Western Europe, Eastern Europe, the Middle East, and then Northern Africa. That's a territory that Rome ruled over, conquered, and had under their authority. I believe that what is accurate and acceptable interpretation is that 10 nations will rise out of that territory that Rome once occupied. And so what we look for in fulfillment of Bible prophecy is that 10 nations coming out of the territory that Rome once occupied, which we call Western Europe, Eastern Europe, the Middle East, and Northern Africa, 10 nations from that territory of the world coming together to form an empire. I believe that would be a fulfillment of Daniel 7, Revelation 13, and Revelation 17. Now, they all may come from Western Europe. That would also be a fulfillment of this prophecy. But I would suggest to you that they don't have to. They could come from that territory that Rome occupied. Remember, it says these 10 kings rise out of this empire. These 10 kings rise out of this kingdom. So we definitely know that the territory that Rome once occupied, 10 nations will form together. I believe that is what will happen in the last days. As to exactly where their headquarters are and exactly what territory they may come from or be centralized in, I'm not exactly sure, and I don't think the Bible specifically mentions that. What we do have, though, is that in the time of John the Apostle, in about 95-96 AD, these kings have not received any power at that point. And we could say the same thing in our day and age. They haven't received power yet, but they will in the future form a nation, and then give their authority over to the beast, or who we commonly call the Antichrist. And that's what our next study will pick up on when we look at what the Bible says about the beast, who we commonly call the Antichrist. We'll look at several scriptures, tying them all together, which will give us a picture of what this last world ruler will be like and what he will try to accomplish.